Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Do you want to meet myself and Ollie Davis of Wrestle Ramble fame? Well, you can do just that by joining us at Wrestling Media Con on September 8th and 9th from the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England. Ollie and I will be doing a live episode of Wrestle Ramble as well as signings and photos, but that's not all. Wrestling Media Con will have shows from Cultaholic, Inside the Ropes, Wrestling with Regret, Don Callis, Botchamania, Art of Wrestling, Sean Waltman, and more. There will also be the first ever Wrestling Media Hall of Fame and wrestling shows from Impact Wrestling, where they will be taking on the best the UK has to offer, and Revolution Pro Wrestling featuring the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger defending his British J Cup crown. Tickets are on sale now, so head over to WrestlingMediaCon.com. That's WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you now that you have successfully done some baking?
Yes, I baked a cake last night, Swaft Nation. I don't think I talked about it on the show.
You did not. We had this conversation off mic.
So notoriously, famously, I'm a famously bad cook. Or just, maybe I'm not. No, I'm a bad cook and I've never baked.
So I had this conversation with my wife last night. I was like, you'll never guess who's baking tonight. And she rattled off, I'd argue, five names and then was like, don't know. And I was like, it's Ollie. And she was like, no, really? And I was like, isn't it funny that I spent all day with him yesterday and it wasn't even the first name he thought of to say? She's mentioned your girlfriend's name. She was like, yeah, that's my first guess.
Well, so that for American listeners, there is the Great British Bake Off.
They have the Bake Off over there.
Do they? Yeah, has it been franchised out?
Not franchised out. They just get the same one we get.
Oh, okay. But on like, but that's not...
On BBC America.
BBC America. But I don't know how many people watch that.
Well, yeah.
It's not like... Because if they were to get their own version, it would be really fast-cutting, these stupid camera shots. Oh, my God! What is wrong with your documentary formats, America? Calm down! Calm down! You can just let some cameras do one thing, one shot, for longer than 5 seconds, please.
So I am a man who bloody loves Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. I love that show so much. I watched it a lot when it was first on in the UK, and then I really got into Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares US because it's so overblown and so melodramatic, and I really got into it. I then tried to re-watch some of the British Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. It is slow going because you're so conditioned into how Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares USA feels. Then when you watch the original Kitchen Nightmares, you're like, get to the point. Come on, let's move along, shall we?
It's like going back and watching old WrestleTalk newses without the jump cuts. With the Bake Off, it was Cake Week. This is the second week of the show being on. And my lady partner made, I can't even remember what she made last week. She made us a cake last week. And I like boldly said, after watching the episode, I'm going to make a cake. Oh, she made biscuits, that's it. So I'm going to make a cake next week. And she laughed and then went, are you really? And I went, yes, I am. And then I didn't do anything until 3 p.m. yesterday. And I went to the, went to the co-op, bought my bits, and I made a orange and chocolate chip loaf cake. Yeah.
And how did it turn out?
It structurally not very good.
Didn't get a good rise.
No. Well, no, it got a good rise. So, yeah, in the tin, it looked great. I think it tastes pretty good. Maybe it's a bit wet. Maybe a bit too moist.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit too sweet as well. Seems I put in quite a lot of orange. Because I made up my own portions for orange. And I couldn't
Risky business. Yeah,
I couldn't find any choc chips in the shop. So I just bought some buttons, some chocolate buttons, mm-hmm. and mashed it up with a wooden spoon.
Nice.
So that might have...
Good improv.
That might have factored into the overall sweetness. But yeah, look, it was when I got it out of the tin, it just fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
Very crumbly.
I've only ever done a small amount of baking in my life. I've made one cake. I made a birthday cake for my wife before we were married, in the shape of Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Did it look like Baymax?
Yeah, it did. It was actually pretty good. Oh, I was quite proud of that one.
Pretty good.
It was actually pretty good. And when I was working for an old company, I actually was part of like a bake-off style competition thing that they were doing there. Like each week you would have to like compete in this sort of bake-off tournament thing, and people just brought in cakes essentially.
Well, I'm thinking when we move to this new place that podcast listeners, we might be moving to a new studio, we should
do it there
with the other offices.
Yes, yeah! That's a good shout. Oh, I like that. Inter-office
yeah.
shenanigans.
Competition.
I like competition, yeah. It brings out the best in us. I also once made bread.
Well, bread week next week.
I know, I made a focaccia and it was pretty good, but I think it would have been better if I had not made it the previous night and then took it in the following day because it got a little bit dry.
Focaccia.
Yeah. And I also made a lemon meringue pie once.
Check you out.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So you are pretty good at baking and cooking.
Well, I made three things. I'm good at cooking. Baking, I'm not so confident on.
So now, we left the show on a cliffhanger yesterday.
Yeah, this blew up more than I thought it would do.
A lot of people... So, You got an email.
Yes.
That you said was too X-rated to read out on air.
Yeah, so we are a clean podcast. We do not advocate swearing on this show.
Apart from Alicia Fox's name.
Yes.
In a Scottish accent.
Absolutely, yeah. So, like, I just think that sometimes it's nice not to have a very sweary podcast. I'm a sweary man, I'll be honest with you, in outside of microphones, as people often call me Naughty Luke. But it's... a case of with this show, we want to try and keep it as clean as possible. And we have had some emails previously before that said we're already too dirty, even when we don't swear, because...
prudes.
We'll often just say F rather than actually say the swear word. And you're like, well, you may... like, it's the same as saying the swear word.
I think that's very rare.
Yeah.
And I think those people are being a bit overreactive.
And someone who criticised me because I used to say bollocks a lot.
Yeah, well.
And I don't consider that a swear word. But either way, I didn't want to alienate those people who might be offended by that. So we're going to try and read this email out by substituting words and activities for other words and activities.
But it will be consistent. So, yeah, whatever this email was originally about, we have replaced with jogging. Okay?
Yes, okay. So this is from Anonymous. Hi, Luke and Ollie. Here's my situation. So my fiancé and I have been together for near on 5 years and we both agreed that jogging was becoming a little stagnant and we'd experience everything that there is to do with jogging and it's become a little bit boring.
Yeah, there's only so many parks.
Yep, they've seen all of the parks.
They've done all the different positions of running.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah. They've done all the forms of stretching that can be done around jogging.
Or various gadgets for jogging.
Oh, absolutely. And they've probably listened to all the podcasts about jogging as well.
Maybe did a jog with a video on the phone.
Yeah, with a GoPro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can kind of track how well you're doing.
Done it all.
Yes.
Done
so, it all. Back to the email. We both agreed we would like to invite someone to jog with us.
Sometimes you want someone else. There to
conversation.
Keep pace.
Absolutely. And we found someone who was willing to jog with us. I sent my not so better half to meet this person and told them that they could stretch together. You know, just get used to the stretches that they do, I guess.
But only a few, like only a certain amount of stretches.
Yes.
Because they want to stretch together.
Well, they want to
and
do the,
then go on the jog.
And they want to do the jog together.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't want to send two people off doing jogging on their own when it's meant to be a group jog.
They might be tired.
Well, exactly.
They might already be sweaty by the time they get to you. So just a few stretches.
Yep. And as I
and
said,
then
it,
come told, back, come over here.
Told him he could have a little stretch bracket with restriction.
Sure.
Not all the stretches. Before they got back to meet
just
me.
Just the groin.
And go for the stretch. Go for the jog, rather. Later that day, we all met up and went for the jog. It was great at the time, because jogging's great.
Weather. Really
weather
good.
Was really nice.
Outside.
And we all had fun on the jog and said we'd like to jog again. Because jogging's fun. Well, I mean, I don't find jogging fun, I'll be honest with you. But
you want to make it a team activity. Maybe one day you run a marathon.
Absolutely, yeah. So back to the email. A few weeks down the line, and I'm really annoyed at my fiancé for doing the stretches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Am I being completely out of order for being upset? Or is it understandable he clearly wanted to stretch and jog without me around? We'd love your opinion, as is an argument we've not been able to set you. Thank you. That's from Anonymous. P.S. He is a pledgehammer and got me into wrestling and also your podcast, and now I listen to them more frequently than and often than he does. So they both listen.
Okay. Well,
and,
that's so...
And our anonymous friend here listens to it more than he does. She probably while jogging.
So, yeah, because it's... That well, I hope.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
The actual jogging.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah,
yeah,
which is what we're talking
not
about.
Not the substitute.
No, we're talking about actual jogging.
No, because we clearly said we're substituting jogging for something else.
Sorry, yes, I meant the actual jogging.
If it's in the actual substituted act. I mean, it's fine, I guess.
I mean, they have tried everything.
Yeah, we even tried having Wrestle Ramble on. Well, you know, just put me on YouTube. That's what we do. Okay, so...
Who needs the thumbnails?
This is a master of the agony arts email, by the way.
It is, yeah.
I didn't think we set that up.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. So I talked this over with my lady partner.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Where did she sit with the jogging situation?
She said, she didn't even get to that because she was like, so this person has emailed in this question, like... Does the other half know that this has been emailed in? Because they're going to figure it out pretty fast. This is quite a unique situation. Not a unique situation, but it's quite a rare situation.
I'd say it's probably unique for our listener base.
Yes. So I mean, are we essentially being the conduit to a very passive-aggressive argument here?
Do you think that he's going to listen and go like, hang on a tick, I think that's me.
Yeah. And then as I was reading it out, I thought, not to belittle if this is a real thing, but I got the sense that this was a joke email and that I wonder if I can get Ollie and Luke to read this out and then they'll go, oh my God, did you hear about this? It's like, yeah, I emailed that in.
Now, okay, so perhaps that could be the case. However, what I would say is that I get a lot of Agony Arts emails in, and at first, when we started getting those, there were all those joke ones. It was like, I live in a pineapple under the sea. Like, what do I do? And things like that. But as this segment has grown, I now get very serious emails. Mm. And in fact, actually, one of them, someone emailed in their case, and I'm sorry I haven't got to your email yet, but he sent me a follow-up email being like, I really need your help on this. Like, you need get to this soon because it's issues that they are having with their better half.
Oh, wow.
So I think this, I would probably say... that this might be a serious email.
Okay, well, let's proceed as if it is.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put that disclaimer out there. So, the actual thing at hand, you are angry at your other half who did some pre-stretching that you had pre-approved. And that this is such a common thing with going on three-person jogs.
Has no one watched Chasing Amy?
Yeah, or like just reading the Dear Deirdre column in The Sun. There was always some form of thing of that.
Don't buy The Sun.
There we go.
Justice for the Night.
I was raised on The Sun.
Oh,
in the,
of course you were, with your dad.
Yeah. But the... So men, in general, not all of us, but me certainly... Sometimes my lady partner will say something with a lot of subtext, but I am not attuned to that subtext, and I will just hear, yeah, go and do that thing. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll go and do the thing. When really it's, yeah, go and do the thing.
And then I'll be super mad about it.
Yeah.
Because you didn't hear the context.
I just didn't, like...
You hear the subtext.
Yeah, so men can't pick up on it. So, and it sounds like you even pre-approved it, like...
It certainly was, yeah.
In this will be a good idea way. So,
yes.
So I don't think it's murky, because of course you're going to have these feelings like you've been cheated on in stretching, but you did allow this to happen and I wouldn't want it to destroy your relationship over it.
Mm.
What do you think?
Well, this is, I always come back to Chasing Amy with this. There's a sequence in Chasing Amy right at the end when Ben Affleck's character, he thinks he solved the issue between his former girlfriend and his best friend, because unfortunately his relationship with his girlfriend has affected his relationship with his best friend, vice versa, his friendship with his best friend has affected his relationship and all this other stuff. And he says that the best way to do this is to all go jogging together.
Yes.
And it's proven to be a very... spoilers for the movie. They don't go for the jog because it was quite rightly pointed out, this is a terrible idea, because what if I enjoy that park more? Mm. What if I think that this is a much more... is a better way of jogging, and I don't like going back to different versions of jogging? Which is probably why I think I would never get myself... That's why I don't go jogging. Real-life jogging. But
this is difficult.
This is difficult. So I do feel sympathy and empathy for your situation, but it's almost like I don't even want to, because it almost feels like you're victim blaming. But is it victimizing?
It's not victim blaming.
Yeah, but it's like, because you sort of put yourself into this position.
Yeah.
And that to me is like, that's when I always feel like, you, as soon as you say that sentence, you put yourself in this position, that does feel like it's then victim blaming.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's a grey area.
So what our emailer has done is blaming someone else for a situation of their own creation. And I think you should probably realise that you don't really have any justification. As understandable as those emotions are, they are of your own making, and you've got a 5-year relationship there.
Yes.
You don't want to jeopardize that. That's
absolutely
very important.
Not. Yeah, absolutely not. I certainly don't think that you should throw any of that away. But it's clearly something you have discussed, because it's an argument that you've not been able to settle. Mm. It'd be interesting if this Pledgehammer emailed in with their side of the jogging story.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know where else we can go with the jogging. Let's see what becomes of this. Shall we get on with the main show?
I mean, it's going to be a very different show from now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Well, it seemed that Carmella doesn't really care that she's lost the title. You didn't see last week's episode, but she never really appeared that distressed that she lost a match where she wasn't even pinned. Because Charlotte pinned Becky in the triple threat at SummerSlam, where she lost her belt. And that seemed to mean so much to her for the months leading up to it. But it doesn't matter, because they've kind of rebooted their character, it seems.
She's been gendered.
Yes, she might be a babyface now. And this was part of a really fun story.
Yeah, it was. I thought this was really, really funny. And I've seen some of the build-up to, you know, the storyline they've been telling with R-Truth's quest to find his purpose on SmackDown Live, which was beating Carmella, because that's how you get into championship matches. So he's been looking for Carmella for weeks and weeks.
Because he wants a United States title match.
And we got the payoff for it here. Because R-Truth got into the main event of SmackDown Live.
I must say, this was a real... Like, it's weird, because I think... That original joke was a one-off,
mm-hmm.
because, and it was based on like people like us, our criticism. Someone in the writing room, I reckon there's loads of WWE writers who are like, man, I agree with everything Luke and Ollie are saying.
Pretty much, because we know they watch this video.
To steal our ideas.
Yeah.
And they must have taken this and thought, okay, I'm just going to write a little joke. This is going to be my time. You can't have this one, Vince. He won't even pick up on it. Maybe you think it's funny. And they have this funny skit like a month ago now.
Hmm.
And they just build it every week. And credit to R-Truth, his performance is spectacular to the extent where it hasn't gotten annoying.
No, he's very, very good at this role.
Mm.
I run a bit hot and cold on Truth. I went through a massive period where I was like, I can do without your comedy now. I can, but we haven't had it for so long that it's actually really refreshing.
Because he's been injured. He was out for a good old chunk of time.
But even before that, it's not like he was on TV every week.
It was the Gold Dust stuff. But him with Gold Dust I found very entertaining.
Yeah, it was. Gold Dust was great.
Before that
role.
Weird turn that never really amounted to anything. Anyway, this did pay off. And R-Truth started to have this little team with Ty Dillinger. And he would accompany Truth around backstage. I don't know if he's ever going to get a payoff. But now...
Well, we are now because we're getting a faction.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
A Truth Day.
Yeah, exactly. They can even call themselves that.
I've seen Armella and The Fabulous Truth as the two names I've seen thrown around. Or maybe this was all a plan because it came as a pretty big surprise to us that Mixed Match Challenge 2 is happening.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, presumably so no one can watch it again.
Yeah. Just boom.
I guess it's probably a deal they had with Facebook Watch. They would do 2 years of it or maybe 3 years of it. And then they sort of forgot themselves and were like, oh, God, yeah, we need to do that thing for Facebook, don't we?
Yeah.
Better just do that quickly.
That's what happens to me on news scripts. Oh, yeah, I was going to put in that video. I'll put it at the end.
Yeah.
That kind of just happened out of nowhere in one of their little in-between segments promotional videos. Mm. Hey, look, Mixed Match Challenge 2's back. Everyone's already a team.
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Yep, this odd, weird reality that sort of exists outside of the main WWE timeline.
Mm. But R-Truth and Carmella are one of those acts.
Yeah.
Also, Bayley is with Finn Balor.
Hey, which is what we wanted last year.
Yes.
And Sasha's with Bobby Lashley.
Mm. Yes. I think it's weird how ethnicities have been paired together. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it seems to me that there's the white teams and then there's the non-white
teams.
Well, apart
from Miz and Asuka, I suppose.
Oh, I suppose that's one. But they were a pre-existing one.
Team Oscar.
Yeah, so we watched a really fantastic 205 Live match yesterday for our Top 5 Matches of August podcast. Pledge on Patreon to get that. And we were like, man, 205 Live's great. Mixed Match Challenge is going to kick it in the balls again.
I know.
Because that's another half hour that's just going to deflate the crowd.
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much. But at least they're stars. Mm. At least people will react to them because they're stars and they see them on TV all the time.
Out of continuity stars.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, R-Truth has this storyline again throughout this episode where he's still trying to find Carmella, but to get his title match, but he finds Maryse instead.
Yeah, so earlier in the night, Miz and Maryse had said to Brian and Brie, hey, we're not in the building tonight. We challenged you before anyone else arrived, but you weren't here. So now we've gone out for dinner. And then Brian and Brie left the arena to go and find them. I thought that was going to lead to a hilarious skit in an Italian restaurant, which sadly didn't pay off that way.
Food fight.
Yes, exactly. That'll get Vince popping. That's what you need. But then Miz and Maryse returned, being like, well, we decided we'd come to work instead. And Paige said, well, now that you're here, you can have a match with anyone who wants to face you. And it turns out that R-Truth was that person who wanted to face him. And then he was looking for Carmella. And he found Miz and Maryse and thought Maryse was Carmella. And the way we explain that, it doesn't sound very funny. But it genuinely was very funny.
It was funny. But more importantly, there was a whole bunch of context that I had selectively forgotten about, I think. Because when Miz was like, oh, how long ago was it that we were tag partners? And Truth is like 7 years. I was like, oh my God, you two were The Rock's first match back in WWE.
I'd forgotten. Well, I remembered that fact, but I'd forgotten that they were a team. At the same time.
Yeah, the awesome Truth.
Because Todd Phillips mentioned it on commentary later in the evening. He was like, this is R-Truth's first like TV main event in 7 years. And funnily enough, it was when he was with the awesome Truth. And I was like, oh, I forgot they were a tag team. Yeah.
Not just a tag team. I feel like people... This is almost incomprehensible for anyone who didn't live through it. But they were...
The most dominant force.
Yeah, they would break into... They were fired from the company. They would break into cage matches and just destroy everyone in it. They were really violent. R-Truth was awesome in that time. Then they slowly turned him into his current idiot character. And he main evented Capital Punishment in a title match against John Cena.
But that was earlier in the year when he was the heel, and it was a serious heel then.
I feel like it was after.
No, because it was Survivor Series 2011, which is when The Rock returned.
Right.
And Capital Punishment was earlier in the year. So that's when Truth had turned heel, and he decided that he was not doing the What's Up thing anymore. And he came out to silence, he came out to no music, because that was marketable, and he didn't want to be marketable anymore. And he had that main event match with John Cena that was a pay-per-view no one bought. And then he formed this team with Miz, and they were meant to be this sort of like serious unit. As you said, they broke into cage matches and beat people down. They were really pushed as this dominant force. And then when it got, and this was essentially just to put The Rock over when he made his return at Survivor Series. But when it came down to Survivor Series, they walked to the ring rapping together. And you're like, aren't you supposed to be a serious threat? And you're just already back into comedy mode.
Colour me sports entertained. So, with that little bit in mind, it was just like a nice bit of context to see where Miz is now, to see where Truth is now, how Miz is so dastardly that he'll use that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when was the last time you were in a main event? When was the last time you were relevant, is what Miz said. And Truth did some more comedy about thinking Maurice is Carmella.
Yeah, because he asked Carmella, thinking that Maurice was Carmella. And then when Miz said, don't speak to my wife, he was like, you married Carmella?
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good. And then Miz called him a joke. And he just looked at it and says, I don't know what Carmella sees in you.
Yeah.
Walks away. It's really nice.
And then later in the night, Truth finally finds Carmella. Well, he has bumped into her in previous episodes, which was quite funny. But yeah, he's like, Carmella, this is what Maurice called you.
Well, no, firstly, because Titan Ninja says, there she is. And he walks up and he's like, oh, have you seen Carmella?
Yes.
Which I thought was excellent. And really made me laugh.
Yes, I mean, that's not Maurice is my cousin from Detroit.
Yeah.
But yeah, Truth wants Carmella to come out and be in his corner for the match against the main event against The Miz. Because Maurice said those nasty things about Carmella. And Carmella then just, this is like almost the babyface turn. She was like, what? And she cut a little bit of a promo.
Did. And then she came out with Truth. She announced that she was going to be in his corner. And she came out dancing with Truth.
It
was
singing like What's Up.
It was a completely different Carmella to what we've seen over the last year or so, really. And you're right, it did feel like a babyface turn and sort of like a character refresh. Because, as I said earlier, she's been gendered. Which is like, we tried you as champion, it didn't work. You're not in the title picture anymore. We're just going to do something different with you. Shanti. And now she's, you know, our Truth rapping.
And but in the actual match, she didn't do anything apart from on the outside.
She cheered him on.
She cheered him on, but she didn't get involved.
No.
It was more just the background thing. But yeah, it's just, I feel like Carmella is being taken away from the title picture, and she's being repackaged as a babyface.
Well, she has to be taken away from the title picture because there's more interesting things happening in the title picture, and she would essentially just, I mean, I hate to say spoil the broth, but she would do. Like, she is an unnecessary ingredient in that lovely soup that they're currently making.
But it's, like, why not have a number one contenders feud?
Because that would require multiple storylines. And you've already got a second storyline with Naomi and the Iconics. So you can't have a third.
Is that a number one contender? I don't know. How are these things this? I like you, Paige. I think you're doing a fantastic job as general manager. But it seems like it's only the tag team title that she cares about creating a structure around.
Yeah.
Everything else is, yeah, face the Iconics. But yeah, so it looks like Carmella's a babyface now. We'll see where it goes next week. Maybe it was just a 1 week thing.
Yeah, or if this is going to be like a new faction that's going to form, or like a little trio between them of Carmella, Truth, and Ty Dillinger, because then they can feud with Rusev Day, if you want us to do that with them. And it seems to me that Road Dogg bloody loves trios. Because you
mixed gender trios.
Because you've got them, you've got Rusev Day, Sanity.
They don't have a lady. Mm-hmm. Oh, but don't talk about that.
Just in trios in general. For a little while as well, you had the Usos and Naomi together because you thought they were going to start feuding with Rusev Day as well. So it just seemed like Road Dogg, he bloody loves a trio. He loves a faction because that's where he made his most money, was when he was part of one.
Well, the problem is Road Dogg thinks he's building Double Axe. we're reading too much into it.
Oh,
we're interpreting the wrong story.
We're the problem.
When
Becky Lynch said the fans are the problem, we read that wrong. It wasn't because she was turning heel.
Yeah, it was just because we're idiots.
We're idiots.
We're reading the wrong stories.
Such idiots.
The only other thing this could be is, and sometimes they do this particularly when Mixed Match Challenge was last on, that Alexa Bliss will be a babyface when she's with Braun Strowman, but the rest of the time she's a heel. So maybe Carmella is just a babyface with R-Truth.
For Mixed Match Challenge. Yeah. And then once that's done and dusted, which I think ends in like 4 months or whatever it is, they'll just revert back and she'll be the Princess of Staten Island again.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So when you left the country before SummerSlam...
I did. For the Great White North.
This was a Miz versus Daniel Bryan feud. And we had joked, one of the ways WWE would screw it up is make it a mixed gender tag match with Miz and Bryan's respective wives. And as soon as we said it, that was about like a month away from SummerSlam. We both went, oh no, that's exactly the sort of thing they'd do. Wouldn't that be the worst? And now you come back.
It's exactly what they've done. Is this inside a Hell in a Cell match as well?
I don't think so. She said, we'll see you at Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
I don't think it's in a Hell in a Cell. I would worry for the people in the match if it was in a Hell in a Cell.
I mean, it's not like it needs to be inside Hell in a Cell, but it let's be honest, this company could do anything.
Yeah, they chucked Orton and Hardy in a cell.
Yep.
And that's not really warranting the feud. No matter how many fancy, very good video packages you show me. What's your... like? Because we haven't really talked about this. How do you feel about...
Well, it's... yeah, I mean...
the wives getting involved.
So when I left... before I left this country, and before I left to go on my honeymoon, and it was in the build-up to SummerSlam... you know, the Bellas were nowhere to be seen. I come back, they're all over the bloody show. They're everywhere. Mm-hmm. They're all over Raw. They're all over SmackDown. You can't escape them now.
I said my piece yesterday.
It's all, like, I'd understand if they had a show to promote, but I don't think the show's on at the moment.
Mm. Maybe they've got nothing to do. Certainly not a wedding.
So, yeah, the show opened with Daniel Bryan on Freehold. And
fell down a Brie hole hard. she's actually quite good when she's with Bryan.
Well, this is it. So a few people said, hey, like, Nikki's improved. And Brie has improved. And I'm not saying that they haven't improved, but they were, like, the dirt worst when they started. And Brie threw a horrible-looking kick later on in this show, completely whiffing Zelina Vega. And she did have those awful dives yesterday. I know that the Riot Squad were out of position for them as well, but she certainly didn't help matters. And, yeah, as soon as her music hits, because it is, I mean, it might be the worst music ever. It might be worse than Stephanie's.
It's in the bottom third of music.
It's like, it's that. Stephanie's and AJ Lee's themes, I think, are the worst three themes in the last 10 years.
Oh, I like AJ's.
Oh, it's awful.
I just want to start skipping when I hear AJ Lee's music. I
hated that song.
Oh, you leave AJ alone.
She's grand. She's awesome. That song was awful. Did not fit her character either.
Anyway, so yeah, so Brie comes down. They are... So someone left a comment on yesterday's Wrestle Ramble. Thought it was very funny. They were like, hey, guys, don't be so hard on the Bellas. They started the women's revolution by having matches so bad that everyone wanted the women's revolution.
But it's great because pretty much that's what WWE is saying. They just don't say the second part of it. They started the women's revolution by having these terrible matches, and we had to book them better.
I know, yeah. So I don't want to be too down on the
Bellas. No, I don't want to be too
it's
down.
It's just... And Brie has improved, and her and Brian are actually quite a good act.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see Maryse and Britt. This feud doesn't need it. Brian and Miz, that's enough. What, yeah. Why are you getting, like, extra stuff involved?
Because I'm... Oh, well, I mean, I figured it's because they want to hype Miz and Maryse. Miz and Mrs., rather, the show. And to do that, you also want to have Maryse on the TV show, on SmackDown, to promote that, I guess.
I think they're like, oh, look, it's actually quite a nice poetic symmetry for these two. It's another mirror image of these two opponents.
And it elongates the feud as well, because you've got to, like, we've got to get to Super Showdown, which they're having another match there. They're having a match at SmackDown 1000, so you can't just have another Miz Bryan match at Hell in a Cell, because we've got another two coming up in, you know, the next couple of months. So this is a way to just sort of, like, artificially extend the feud.
Artificially is the key word there, because, like, you could... just think of this as a better way to do it. Brian and Almas in a number one contenders match to face whoever's the champion after AJ and Joe. So you say that. That's your Hell in a Cell match. Okay, there's stakes. You get Brian away from Miz for a bit. You don't have to bring the wives into it. And then Miz costs Brian that shot. Builds up a rematch. Almas gets a one-and-done pay-per-view shot with against AJ or Joe, probably AJ. And you just you don't have to do the same match every month. You weave them in and out of other wrestlers and storylines.
But they have weaved them in and out of other wrestlers. It's Brie and Maryse.
It's not different. It's just adding clumps of stuff.
Oh, yeah, totally.
To the same thing.
Yeah. But anyway, so... Renee showed them a clip from WWE.com, which Miz and Maryse had filmed earlier, where they were in an empty arena before the show had even started, before the fans had even arrived, saying, like, we're going to challenge you to a fight now, which obviously Brie and Brian didn't show up for because they weren't there.
Which was good. It's like a fun way to... Because I liked Miz and Maryse's argument for that. We don't want to embarrass you more in front of all these people.
Yeah,
but nice. The real, you know, it's because they're not there.
Yeah, and then Brian reiterated that they're cowards, and this brought out Zelina Vega and Andrade Cien Almas. And Vega, with a lame line, called the show Total Bores.
Well, at least it was a good delivery.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because... I mean, when you've got the purpose of having a wrestler and manager act, when one's a really good wrestler and the other one's a really good talker, you don't make the really good wrestler then talk and the really good talker wrestle. Why are they making them both do this?
But either way, this
protect, emphasize the strengths, hide the weaknesses. It's the whole point of putting a wrestler with a manager.
Either way, this led to a pretty terrific match between Brian and Almas. Now,
do you think this is progression? We now just put a woman in every act and storyline.
Is that what they think of Drake Maverick?
Possibly.
But either way, I didn't get to see this match last week. But when I listened to the podcast review, and you're like, and it was Daniel Bryan versus Almas.
It was good.
I, in my head, was like, I want to see that match.
Yeah.
That sounds like a match that I'd be like, cool, like, sign me up for that. So I was actually pretty pleased that we got a rematch here this week. And I thought this was a pretty terrific little match. It was back and forth action throughout. Some really nice spots in there. Almas with the double moonsault. Brian diving off the apron and Almas catching him with a huge dropkick. I thought it was some really
That was a good spot. Yeah,
I thought it was some really, really nice stuff into all of this.
It's like Almas is really vicious schoolboy on Brian into the bottom turnbuckle. And, you know, with all of Brian's concussion issues, it was just a nice little bit of detail.
I really liked this.
It's interesting watching Brian wrestle Almas, because he's always a professional. He always puts his all in and he tries to make it the best match possible. But sometimes you can't fake really loving wrestling the guy you are. So, like, you watch a big cast match and then you watch this match.
Yeah.
Brian's having fun. Brian is like, oh, they're both like, yes, wrestling. Wrestling, wrestling, wrestling. And it's a joy to watch. And they've done it really well, where I still want to see a big proper match down the line.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I've had that big Almas-Brian match, despite seeing it twice.
No, and as I said in the SmackDown review as well, this is another one of those matches that elevates Almas even in defeat, because he was on the same level as Daniel Bryan.
That's the story of this match, but overall in the night, don't think that's...
No, I think that, certainly in this match, but by the end of the night, perhaps not.
Yeah, they just felt like, oh, this is just the bad way of using Almas to artificially elongate a feud you're already artificially elongating.
Pretty much, yeah, because especially after the match, I've written here, Brie kicks Vega for no reason.
Mm. That was a good kick, though.
It wasn't, but it was a better kick than one she did later in the night.
So yes, this was good stuff. And Miz and Maryse appear on screen at the end from their local Italian restaurant.
Mm-hmm. And said that they've rented out a whole Italian restaurant because they don't want to have dinner with anyone from your local sports team. Mm. So it was very nice. And they said, we'll see you at Hell in a Cell.
And Brian and Brie were like, okay, let's go and have ourselves an Italian dinner, though.
And I was like, food fight, it's got to happen.
Especially when, like, they took their bags, their wheelie bags, but Brian was still in his ring gear.
They were really hungry.
Pants. Yeah.
They wanted some garlic bread.
So he was just going to turn up, start eating. If that like, all the stuff I wouldn't have done it with this feud, but you could have had Miz and Maryse on one side of the restaurant and Brian and Brie on the other, just, like, looking at each other, eating really tensely.
Although, if you're Brian and Brie, you can't get any food anyway because they've rented out the whole restaurant.
That's a good point.
So you can't even get a table.
Yeah.
You're on a long waiting list.
Well, you know what that means. You get to beat up some staff as well. Because they're like, no, it's closed. Brian, in the yes lock. Brie dives over the
using
the
a baguette.
Counter. Yeah. Again, though, that is goofy stuff that should not be in this feud.
Speaking of not goofy stuff, segue, we got clips of the feud between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. Now, this is my first taste of this feud since before SummerSlam.
And how did it taste?
Pretty good. So they had this sort of sit-down interview, but in separate locations because Paige had decided it was too dangerous to have them in the same room. Nice little touch there.
And it was like the Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe stuff from last year.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff. And it's okay, so again, I'm kind of like coming in from an outside position because I've been away for a couple of weeks. And they very much, the way that Becky is sitting, the way that her face is, the way that Charlotte is positioned, Charlotte is the undeniable baby face here. And Becky Lynch is sort of this sort of shades of grey, sort of, is she a heel, is she not? But the crowd were 100% behind Becky Lynch in all of this. And it's easy to see why, because she's so awesome in this role.
Yeah.
Flair, you know, unfortunately, she was slightly wooden to begin with. I think she got, like, as it went on, she got really good. But at the start, it was very much like, Becky, I am the champion, and I will face you at Hell in a Cell. And and I have lost my best friend. But Becky Lynch is such a good actor. Mm. Like, there was just one moment when Flair was like, after I won, you just had to hug me and say, I wanted a title match. And Becky was like, screw you.
Yeah.
It was such great delivery. It really was. And as I said in the SmackDown review, you can tell that Becky, as an actor, believes the words she's saying. And that then comes across and it makes it feel real and genuine. I loved this so much. And it is all down to Becky Lynch being so, so, so good at what she does. Mm. She is awesome.
Yeah, I do have to say Charlotte really held her own.
Yeah, but I thought
she was very good throughout this. I think Becky Lynch was on another level.
I think Becky being so good elevates, and it almost makes Charlotte work harder to be better in her promos. Because as I said at the start, she was a bit Catman, but by the end of it, she was so good.
Well, I guess it's easier to play off someone who feels like a real character
yeah.
than someone who is also woodenly delivering lines.
Yeah.
That my favourite bit of the promo was Charlotte was like, she's like Charlotte saying how she's the best and all that. And Becky just really naturalistically talks over saying,
yeah.
It's delusional. It's delusional.
Yeah,
it's a really nice touch. It felt real, and that's what you need in wrestling.
Love this. And Flair had an awesome line where she was like, she said, as a friend, you were never second best, but across the ring, you always will be. That's a money line right there. That's brilliant.
Charlotte also did, and I think this, you know, you said Charlotte was out and out babyface in the way she's portrayed. She did the evil villain slow clap. Yeah, I think Charlotte is grey, and I think Becky's grey. I don't think Charlotte is being portrayed as a super babyface here.
I think Becky is great.
Hey! But as much as I like this, I thought that just the setup was weird. How Tom Phillips, Todd, was just like, hey, so this is going to be an interview. What do you think about this? And then Thanos'd away.
He reneged Young himself.
Yeah. And also, like, he didn't get in the ring to do it. He was just on commentary. It just felt... I know that's nitpicky, but...
Yeah.
That's who we are. Naomi beats Peyton Royce next after losing to Peyton Royce the first week and then losing to Billie Kay the next. And now she beat her up. So with a, you know, a quick match and a roll-up. So it doesn't really prove anything. It's been 3 weeks of not really anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Bayley Banks versus Riot Squad mentality of just go out there and have your 3 minute match. And it wasn't even 3 minutes. I think it was about 30 seconds in the end. I was amazed how many photos of this were on WWE.com. So the finish more or less just came out of nowhere. And then the Iconics beat her down afterwards. Asuka's music hits and she came down and beat up the Iconics and checks on Naomi. I mean, this was fine, but my only real comment on this is like, it's incredible how unspecial Asuka feels.
Yeah.
It took them less than a year. Really did take them. Because it's not even been a year since she debuted on the main roster.
Yeah.
And she feels just like another warm body on the show. It's really impressive how quickly she's felt not that special.
Well done, WWE.
Well done. I mean, that's really impressive stuff.
Yeah, because she was really special.
So special.
And you even protected her on the main roster, largely. She won the Women's Royal Rumble. She was undefeated for the first 4 months of the year.
I was thinking about this. If Braun, because Braun has cashed in his Money in the Bank to get his match at Hell in a Cell. If Braun doesn't win at Hell in a Cell...
He's not winning.
Okay, so Braun's not winning at Hell in a Cell. That means of the 4 guaranteed title shots they have had this year, only one of them has won, and it was bloody Carmella. Because both Royal Rumble winners lost, and Braun will have lost as well.
Brilliant.
Good going.
One review I read of this show on Cage Side Seats was... It was like, even though the bad job they've done with Asuka, I still get that pop when she comes out. And I was like, I don't.
Yeah, I don't anymore. It's really sad. It's. I mean, incredible how WWE have made it feel unspecial. I think it's even more impressive how they did nothing off the back of her streak ending.
They had no plan.
No it's plan really whatsoever. Depressing. That is sad.
It's also, this at the end of this, it was just another case of that. And we've been calling them out for the last month now. Of this underlying misogynistic, juvenile, male-focused booking of the women, which is, they're just mates. Like, when have Naomi and Asuka ever been friends?
Ooh, friends.
Am I missing something?
They might have been on... No,
where they want to tag team and beat up people in Hell in a Cells and main evented Capital Punishment with John Cena. I don't know. Why are they doing this? Just because they're baby faces? Why can't Asuka then just... I don't know. Yeah, it's rubbish. Rubbish.
We got a hype video for Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy, and we got lots of clips of Hardy from back in the day being the daredevil that he is, just throwing himself off things, swantons of galore, swanton for you. And amazingly, the thing that surprised me most in this video is that Jeff Hardy revealed he's never had a Hell in a Cell match.
And honestly, no.
That's what he said. He's like, this is the first time I'm ever going to be in a Hell in a Cell match. And I thought to myself, he's been in this company since 1995. You'd have thought by accident he'd have had one by now.
Well, he kind of left at the time. So I think there was only like 8 ever Hell in a Cell matches by 2009.
But there was that point. Oh, no, they'd had them, loads of them by that point.
Had they?
Yeah, there were two a penny that had them on SmackDown by that point.
But they.
But, like, I think even when he was on top.
In the last 10 years.
Even when he was on top as WWE champion during his feud with CM Punk and all of that, you'd have thought by accident they would have had a Hell in a Cell match at some point. I was just really surprised by that.
Yeah. I thought this was a very good video package, actually.
Great video. A pretty subpar promo by Jeff, but the video package was so good it elevated it.
It made me feel like this Jeff Randy match is a big time deal because you have all that context and history and how big a stars they actually are over their WWE careers.
Yeah.
This was a good way to promote the match, and that's mostly what you can do for a pay-per-view. And it's worrying that they're showing all those clips of Jeff throwing himself off things. And he's in a Hell in a Cell match. So you're like, okay, so he is going to do something horrible and he's working injured.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. Has Nakamura got a feud at the moment? Because he is still champion, right?
Yeah, he's the United States champion.
Yeah.
I think he was in Japan last week, though. I swear he shared something on Instagram where he was with a New Japan guy. I don't know.
Just wondering if he was doing anything.
Yeah. No.
Okay, cool.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Sweet.
I forgot he wasn't on the show. Last week he was on the show and he had a 30-second clip where he went, "This is the United States of Knack America."
Which is a great gimmick.
Yeah, but that was it.
Yeah.
And then we got Miz backstage. Miz and Maryse have come back from their dinner, obviously because they knew Bree and Brian were going to have dinner with them.
And they challenged Daniel and Bree to a fight, and they were like, oh, they've left the building. And I was like, how typical.
Yeah.
Like cowards, they've run away.
So this was to Paige in her office, a makeshift office.
Yeah.
And I like how they both put up their fists. They're scared of the hardest hitting couple in WWE. It's such good heel work.
Yeah.
And Paige is such a good general manager. She said, well, you know, this is when she set up the match with R-Truth. And Miz is like, nah, I'm just going to go home. And Paige went, oh, okay, yeah, you go home. And then you're fired.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good she stuff. Doesn't take any crap.
Yeah, good stuff. Samoa Joe came out next. Ooh, Wendy. I mean, I've missed this, so.
So, after SummerSlam, and you had that, the sort of tension between Joe and Wendy, who's AJ's wife, in the crowd, and their daughter. I think, Wendy's the wife, and not the daughter. And the next, the two nights after on SmackDown, AJ's cutting a promo, but Joe attacks him from behind. And Joe screams into the camera, grabs a cameraman, looks right into the lens, and just goes, "Ooh, Wendy!" And it's fantastic.
Do you know what the funniest thing was? So when I got a modicum of Wi-Fi, I was outside of Tim Hortons, and I got some Wi-Fi, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to see what's up, going on at WrestleTalk for a minute. And I clicked a video, and that's when I saw that New Day had won the tag belts. And I clicked the video, not realizing it was a news episode, and it just said, "Support WrestleTalk." And then you popped up and went, "Ooh, Wendy!" And I was like, what is this all about?
Yeah, I didn't even realise that it's the same thing as Kingslayer. Like, a lot of people were like, ooh, Kingslayer, or ooh, Wendy. I was like, oh, yeah. that's convenient for a T-shirt. So, yeah, but Samoa Joe opened with his new catchphrase, "Ooh, Wendy." I hope he keeps using that outside of his feud with AJ. And last week, Joe threatened to go round to the Styles family home and, you know, kind of just have dinner with his wife, tuck in AJ's daughter.
Oh, wonderful.
Really creepy.
Yeah.
And me and Laurie talked about it. We were really hoping he would do that.
Yeah. I was a bit disappointed that they haven't, if that was what it was set up.
But Joe, like, just came into the ring instead and was like, hey, in a way, Wendy, you should thank me because I've scared Styles so much that he has to spend time with you. He actually has to spend time with his family. Welcome.
He's locked his doors. Yeah. I thought it was some really good stuff. And he said, like, because I'm not a monster. I'm not a monster. I'm not going to do these things like that. And I was like, I've given you your husband back. And I thought this was really nice. And I was a bit down on this feud in the lead up to SummerSlam. Only because I felt they'd booked it in reverse, which was they did sort of the brutal beatdown and then started doing the psychological stuff, which when really they should have done the psychological stuff first and ended with the beatdown as your go-home angle into SummerSlam, as opposed to starting with that and ending with a letter. So that was why I was a little bit down on it. I liked Joe being this more like he's getting into the head of AJ. I just thought they did it out of order. But this is, the intensity of this has really kicked up a gear since SummerSlam. And it's one of the few SummerSlam matches I've actually seen.
Yeah.
And it was really, really good. And I loved the match. And I quite like this feud now. I think this feud is really, really good.
It's one of the best things in the company right now, I think. Joe's just been great. I like that he had a bruise or a cut or something, which makes it look like he just has fights outside of Tuesday's SmackDown episodes. And he said that he had a great line where he's like, because at Hell in a Cell, you'll be seeing a lot more of your daddy because a very, very bad man is going to take his title.
Good stuff.
But then AJ appears on the screen. AJ is thought to be at home, and he's like, don't threaten a man's family. And he turns out he's in the building.
Yeah.
So the message I get from that, it's Styles doesn't care about his family.
Yeah, he's too busy being on the road. He's a champion. He's a fighting champion. Over 300 days as champion now is AJ Styles.
Which proves Joe's point. Styles runs down, brawls with Joe.
And that's what I love. Like, AJ was just like staring a hole at him, and Joe was there ready. And I was like, this is what I wanted from this feud. Mm. It was just like this level of intensity, and like these two dudes just want to punch the F out of each other. And he did, and he just charged the ring, and they just got into this massive brawl. He grabs a chair, and he starts swinging it at Joe. Referees come down, does this big old dive to the outside onto everyone, which looked awesome. And then Paige had to come down and kind of like break the fight up. I thought this was tremendous stuff.
Yeah, I really like it because, it shows Paige is a really good general manager, that even the big wrestlers are like, oh, okay, I don't want to get fired. And it really plays into Styles' character, which is he's a hothead who can't keep track of his emotions in check. He might be the best wrestler in the company because he's the champion, but yet that is an issue, that his rage gets the better of him. And that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah.
So yeah, really, really, really good stuff. Not amazing, but it's just like a good chapter in this feud.
Yeah.
But Joe needs to invade the home next week now. Now he knows that AJ is not like... he's not going to protect the family. The next week's segment, which is the go home?
Oh, I suppose it would be.
Yeah. So that like Joe has to, you know, beat up a kid.
It'll be interesting to see where they're going to take this as well, because this is also another feud that's got two already announced matches after Hell in a Cell, because they're fighting again at SmackDown 1000 and at Super Showdown. So they've got to find a way to artificially extend this feud as well.
Well, you know, Wendy can tag with AJ. And I don't know.
Asuka.
Yeah, just chuck Asuka in there. A Bella. Everyone gets a Bella. Then you've got the Truth Carmella stuff. Then an Orton Hell in the Cell package, which was a better promo.
Much better promo, but an excellent video package as well. And I liked as well that he was like, I've been in loads of Hell in a Cell matches. You've never been in one of them. You don't know what I'm like inside there. Mm. I'm unleashed when I'm inside a Hell in a Cell, mostly against John Cena. But I've had loads of them, and they're brilliant. I thought this was a great promo.
And there was a clip of, you know, when he was saying, I can go to depths. So I've got voices in my head, whatever. And then they had a clip of him burning down the Wyatt family compound.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's where it all went wrong. That's where it all went wrong for Bray and Randy for a bit.
He had a money line in this promo, though, which I'm sort of going to move past that Bray Wyatt stuff where it did all go tits up, where he said, what I'm going to do at Hell in a Cell will keep everyone up at night, but it will make me smile.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great.
It's like the Thanos line that wasn't even in the movie.
Yeah.
Rusev Day took on Sanity and the Usos next. Rusev Day, it's so great to see them back together as a
Isn't
harmonious
it
team.
Just very happy.
And they really told this story well, because Aiden English is saving Rusev left, right, and center.
Yeah, throughout the match.
Sacrificing himself to save Rusev. I'm really invested in Lana, Rusev, and Aiden as friends. So when the eventual turn of one of them happens, hopefully it's a long time from now, I'm going to be heartbroken.
It'll be next week.
Yeah, probably. Unfortunately, it was one of those matches where the match got started in the commercial break. So you've already lost a lot of the story, and it comes back to the action, and it's just everyone doing moves.
Well, you say that, though, but it started throughout the commercial break, and then when they came back, it was Killian Dane doing a headlock spot, or like a head thing. Why do the agents keep making him do this?
Yeah.
Like, that's all he's allowed to do, is just sit there and crank the neck, and he did it for so long. It was pretty boring after a while. But I thought it picked up by the end. I thought it got nice and chaotic. There was lots of blind tags, and I thought that worked really well for the match. I think the final minute and a half, 2 minutes, were actually really good.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like the stuff that gets over these days.
And that's when Dane was allowed to do all of his good stuff.
So it was... It wasn't... I thought this was below par for what it could have been. Because it was just 90 seconds of fun at the end.
Yeah.
A commercial break... and Sanity losing.
Yeah. I mean, as I said in the SmackDown review, Road Dogg still doesn't know what Sanity are or what to do with them.
So is it a Wyatt family thing? What's going on here?
I don't know, but we put this guy in a singlet now, so yeah. I guess that might have fixed one issue.
So the bar come down from the ramp afterwards. They have a stare down across the ramp. It's going to be the bar versus Rusev Day next week.
Fun stuff. Looking forward to that.
Very much so. And that will decide who's facing the New Day at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it'll be the bar.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, I'm not so sure. Could be Rusev Day. That's the sort of, like, all these teams are so beloved. Even the bar are kind of these tweener characters now. You could do face versus face.
I'd love it to be Rusev Day, yeah. To be honest with you. And I'm with you. I want this team to stay together for a while. But I'm almost like, I've been pre-exposed to be just like, oh, I'm just waiting for the turn now. Because now they're telling the story that Aiden English is actually helpful to the team. They're like, now they're going to pull the trigger and Rusev's going to turn on him next week.
One of the things me and Laurie talked about last week was SmackDown's tag division is too good.
Yes.
Like, you look at Raw... like,
we've said this before, yeah. It's stacked.
To the extent where you're now really ignoring really good teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not cool. Like, the Usos should be prominently featured in a tag division. So should Sanity.
So should Gallanderson.
So move them over to Raw or just do something because you're a lot of guys aren't getting on the show.
Well, let's put it this way. Gallows and Anderson came over with the Superstar Shake-Up and have done nothing. They had a sort of feud with the Bludgeon Brothers that led to a pre-show match, but
they had a title match.
But that was like, but that's it. Like, yeah. It's so forgettable. They've done nothing, and it's just kind of amazing. That's what you decided to do with them, which was nout.
I don't think they ever had a plan.
WWE.com videos, I'd imagine.
Yep, with Mike Rome.
Yep.
So R-Truth and The Miz was our main event. I must say, I didn't say it earlier, but when R-Truth gets Carmella to go out with him, and afterwards. R-Truth was... So Carmella leaves, like, I'm going to go to the ring. And R-Truth is backstage with Ty Dillinger. And Truth goes, I'm trying to teach you something here, Ty. And Ty's like, what could you possibly teach me? And Truth just says, how to get in the main event of SmackDown.
It was so good. What a great payoff.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, you old dog. And you think, wait a second. So is R-Truth a goofy idiot? Or has he played this amazing month-long game and worked us all?
Could be either way,
and that's what's really good about it. Yeah. So that was fun.
Yeah. So this was like full on Mella being gendered here because she was coming out dancing with R-Truth and singing "What's Up" along with him. Couldn't care that she's lost the title or she's not in the title picture anymore. And I guess that's fine for Carmen. I wasn't a fan of her as champion anyway.
No.
I was glad that it ended when it did. I could have done with it ending sooner. But, you know, here we are. And I would say as well that while this, I did like this match, the crowd were more interested in chanting for CM Punk at the start. I think they turned around a little bit at the end. I think they got into Truth Near Falls and actually popped when he won as well. I thought these two did a really good job of turning the crowd around and getting them into this match. And it was stunning for me to think. So I think it was late 2000s. That R-Truth debuted in WWE as Kay Quick.
Wow.
In
the late 2000s?
Yeah, no, the late 2000.
No, was it that long ago?
Yeah, it was when he was Kay Quick with Road Dogg. And they
were
a tag team.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, getting rowdy.
Jeez.
And here we are in 2018 and he's in the main event. And I was like, good for you, man. Because you don't get to see him in that position very often.
And he still looks great.
He doesn't look like he's aged a day.
No, and he all these little dance moves and little taunts in between moves. I really, really like. He's one of those guys that you put him in front of a casual and they'll get into him. Like, oh man, this guy's fun.
Yeah.
He's got the fun entrance. He's a really good pre-show act.
Yeah, totally.
And occasionally putting him in something like this, you get that kind of Santino investment I want to see this comedy figure win.
Well, I remember when he debuted, but and I think it was late 2000 that he debuted. And I was into him at the time. He was sandbagged with Road Dogg, who was having some real bad personal issues at the time, and the team was never going to get over to the degree it should have done. But I always thought that he was really cool and really impressive. And then when I started watching TNA in sort of 2004-ish, he was really featured on that show. And I was like, I'm really glad that he's getting featured here. So then I was really stoked when he got moved over to back to WWE and is in this position. I'm happy for him. I like our truth.
And then when he main evented Capital Punishment with John Cena.
Which was good for a time. It was good for the moment.
So they're having a match. It's fun. I quite enjoyed it, but I did find my mind wandering.
I did enjoy Miz doing the moonwalk as awfully as he possibly could do it, because the idea of doing the moonwalk as a, you know, to get the crowd against you is to do it bad on purpose.
Oh yeah.
And he tried his darndest to do it bad on purpose.
Maybe he was having a really good go at it. Just not very good at the moonwalk.
Bless him.
Miz is getting the better of Truth, but Brian's music hits. Daniel Bryan come down.
Our Truth wins.
This distracts Miz, so Truth wins by a roll-up. And then Bryan and Bree run in. They beat up Miz and Maryse. But then Almas and Vega run down. So Miz and Maryse escape, and Bree and Bryan lock in the dual yes locks on Almas and Vega.
Yeah. Now, there's an image of this on WWE.com, and it's when Bryan has got the yes lock in, he's got this intense look of just like, I'm trying to yank this lock in and make this dude tap out so I can prove a point. Brie Bella's got it locked in with the biggest smile on her face, like she's having a whale of a time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, I could have done without the Almas Vega being sacrificed, just for that little bit, just for a visual of Bryan and, like, you, that visual is not worth sacrificing Almas and Vega in that spot when you could just have Bryan and Bree on the ropes looking mean, looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that's not as impactful, but
I'm guessing it's to set up next week they're going to do Bryan and Bree versus Almas and Vega.
Yeah.
And that's your go-home setup for the Hell in a Cell match.
Wow. We don't know what the plans are for Carmella, but that would have been perfect for Carmella to get in, go to slap Brie, and then Brie gets her in the yes lock, and do that instead of having Almas and Vega run out. It was really contrived, I thought. What did you give it overall?
I gave it a smacktastic. I really enjoyed the show. Yeah. I thought it was solid throughout. I thought the wrestling was mostly really... I thought the Daniel Bryan match was really, really good. I really enjoyed the main event as well. And I thought the Orton video packages were great. And I love the Becky Lynch stuff. So there was more positives to this than there were negatives. And in fact, the negatives that I had were very few.
Mm. I really like the episode, but I like it in that solid way. Like, I think this is a solid episode. I've still got the all-in hangover of how fun that show was.
You can't compare the two, though.
I know you can't.
Heed the words of Christopher Daniels. You cannot compare the two. Mm. And it's unfair to compare the two as well, because they're going after different things.
But I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying, like, it's hard to experience that and it be on your mind all the time and then watch this show and go, yeah, that was... that was fun.
But when you watch an actual movie, so like a movie that is made by a really serious director with actors who are really invested in what they're doing, a prestige picture, so to speak, you then, when you watch a different movie, when you watch a comedy film, you have a different mindset when you watch that film, right? You don't watch that film and be like, well, it's not The Post, is it? It's not quite Schindler's List, this game night film.
It's just Steven Spielberg movies we're going for.
Well, he is the greatest director of all time, trademark.
When I watched Ready Player One on Sunday, that was naff.
Not his finest hour, I'll be honest. But.
So I kind of... I know what you're trying to say, but... I'll watch a... SmackDown for me this week was a fine comedy.
A three-star comedy.
Yeah, it was a three-star comedy.
Hmm.
But then, like, All In was a four-star whatever that genre was. I've seen four- and five-star SmackDowns.
Mm-hmm.
This is not... This was not one of those.
Because I feel like I've been in a mindset where I've been, some say unfairly harsh on SmackDown, where I've been giving them 3.5 out of fives, and people have been saying, like, no, that's a 4-star SmackDown. What did it need to be a 4-star movie? And I was like, or 4-star SmackDown, I should say. And my sort of argument I've always had is, like, if I am consistently entertained throughout, and to the point where I'm like, that's awesome, that's awesome, that's awesome, that's really great, that's really great, then for me that is it's a 4-star episode of the show. But there have been times where I've watched it and been like, that was awesome, that was awesome, this one's so great, this one's so great, that's a 3 out of 5. I thought it was fine.
Well, you see, I wouldn't say awesome for any of this, really. I go, that was good, but that was really good.
Maybe it's because I haven't seen it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, could be
could
that.
Be that.
A high 3 out of 5 for me.
Which is more or less the same score.
Yes.
Now, before we started recording this, obviously we got up our anonymous email for the Agony Art, but then you said to me, I've got an email for the second half of the show. You have an email.
I have an email. I need to find the email.
Oh, well, see this.
I've got it. It was very quick. So.
That's what she said.
I don't know if you remember, Luke. The SWAF Nation won't, because we did this privately. But we were contacted by one fan of the show who was going to get married.
Oh, yes! I do remember this!
And she was like, hey, my husband loves WrestleTalk, he loves wrestling, and we both love WrestleRamble, we watch you a lot. I would love to surprise him at the wedding ceremony with a recorded message from us both.
Yes.
So we will, and I think what she was looking for was like a 30-second, hey, congratulations. But what actually happened is we spoke for about 10 minutes because we just rambled.
Rambled on, as we often do.
Yeah, and it's happened. Yeah, so they played. So this is the...
Have you got a clip of this?
No clip. Okay. Here comes a two-part reply, one from me and one from my husband. Yay! This was the hardest secret I've ever had to keep, but I did it. He suspected absolutely nothing, and his reaction was exactly what I'd hoped for. I do believe he squeed himself a little. Quite a lot, as a matter of fact. I did watch the video just after you sent it, and I didn't edit anything.
What? Oh, that's a mistake. Error.
I wanted him to see it just as you made it. It was shown just after my speech to him at the wedding party, but there were only 29 guests, so not a lot of people know your secrets. We shared a few pet names with our own.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Plus, 5 to 6 of those present didn't understand much English. It's what an awkward 10 minutes that is.
And we just babble on in that about nonsense.
I just want to say thank you again for doing this. When I first got your email, your reply back in June, I was sitting right next to the fiancé, and I was checking my email on my tablet. He didn't see anything, of course, but naturally he asked what was going on when I started crying, because I did.
Mate.
I told him that I managed to get him a surprise I didn't think was possible to get because it was so rare, so he expected an object.
Oh, that's so lovely.
I did give him a big 2 swaft from you too.
Yeah.
Just before the video started playing. But I'll let him be swaffed back at you himself. This is loose use of the word swaffed. Nothing was filmed during the wedding, but we've added a couple of fun pictures of us. 2 container, blah, 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 blah. I'd like to mention because I'm quite proud of my accomplishment.
As well you should
be. Oh, sorry, this is of her dress. She did all the sewing herself.
No way!
And all of the work on the groom's jacket, vest and tie.
Amazing.
And a bit of work on the dress with a good amount of help and guidance from the local seamstress. Do you want to see some
amazing
pictures?
Yes, I bloody well do. Amazing.
That is a purple dress.
Oh, and she's got a cape.
Rocking it hard with a cape. And the groom has a top hat and cane.
Lovely stuff.
This is my kind of wedding.
Yep.
There they are.
That is very, very good. Love it.
Yes. Happy couple.
Happy couple.
And here is the groom.
Bring it on.
and hallo for the first time. To say I was lost for words is an understatement. My very own wedding ramble. A wamble? I'll leave the marketing side of things to you guys. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate the time and effort you spent on doing this for us. I know how insanely busy you guys are, even with your chief of security, El Fagador, but that you go to nice stuff about us. And just so you know, after we signed the wedding contract to be legally married, tradition was followed. Whenever a contract is signed, someone has to go through a table. Fortunately, my wife was more than willing to powerbomb me through it. Aww. OMG! Anyhow, a million thanks once again. You made that day as special as it could be. Aww. A big swaft to all you guys at WrestleTalk.
Lovely. That is excellent. That's really put a smile on my face.
Yeah, it's nice.
That is lovely, yeah. Before we shoot, though, do you want a quick poetry corner?
Yes, a quick poetry corner.
It's from one of your favourites as well, Buttered Toast.
Buttered Toast.
So Buttered Toast sent in a limerick from Dolph Ziggler to Seth Rollins.
Hmm. So short, then.
Yes. You say that my reign is a scam, but really, I don't give a damn. You say you're an idol, but I've got the title. I'll see you at SummerSlam.
Oh, that's good.
But before...
Out of date as well.
It is a little bit, yeah. That's unfortunately how the cookie crumbles when I've been away for a couple of weeks. But I've also got a little extra bonus for you. So...
Why is your hand in your pocket?
Well, I'll show you in
a second. Is this a treat? Is it a present from Canada?
It's not... Well, it sort of is, yeah. So while we were in Vancouver, we...
Thought I was going to get a Randy Orton handshake.
When we were in Vancouver, we walked past a bookstore that was like, and it was like a traditional, like, cluttered bookstore, books everywhere, that kind of thing.
I don't want another copy of your video game book.
It wasn't there. I looked for it. It was not there. It was a very small bookstore. But even more impressively, they had a gumball machine that was filled with haikus.
No way.
It was a free gumball machine. You went in there, you clicked it around, and it dropped you out a little acorn. Filled with a haiku. So I thought I would read you out the haiku that
have you not opened this?
I have read this, okay. Yeah, but I thought I would read you out this haiku.
Okay.
From Vancouver. It was written by someone called Carol McCrory, I'm gonna say. McRurry.
I'm sure she listens to the show.
So this is the haiku. Fog. The sound of wings going somewhere.
You have to let haikus mellow, don't you?
Yeah.
You've got to, like, so what just happened?
My wife got one
fog.
As well. Yeah. The sound of wings going somewhere. And that you can hear. That's the sound of the acorn lid going back on.
Is that what they're called, acorn?
Well, it's because it's in the shape of an acorn.
Yeah.
So that's what they called it. I also had a gumball machine in a bar that dispensed 20-sided die. So that was nice. Like a D20.
You found all the cool places.
Well, this was like a very much a D&D themed...
Town?
No, bar.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, there was nerd stuff everywhere. There was like a Millennium Falcon hanging from the ceiling. They were playing Star Wars The Last Jedi. We went when they were doing their cartoon brunches, which is where they just have cartoons playing all day, every day. It was an awesome, awesome place.
Well, another tidbit of the new location potentially for WrestleTalk. It's down the road from a video game bar.
It certainly is.
A retro video game bar.
Four Quarters. I went there for a friend's stag do. In fact, a stag do I organised.
To that one in Stratford.
No, it was the one in Peckham. Yeah. Yeah.
That's where my birthday was that you didn't come to.
That's because where was I?
I don't know. Belgium, probably.
That's where it is. Because your birthday's around the same time as my wife's.
Yeah. Yeah. So just before we get out of here, we're off to a dance class today.
We certainly are.
We're off to a dance class. Our first one.
Yep. So I thought you'd actually already started these dance lessons. So I'm actually glad that I'm not playing catch up. So that should be good.
Laurie will. He can't be here today.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's just me and you today.
Oh,
and then
cool.
I'm going to video a lot of it for him.
Yeah.
And then he can try and learn a bit and catch up with us tomorrow.
Excellent. And if you are around, obviously you might actually be hearing this the day after, I'm going to be at the Rev Pro TV tapings tonight if anyone's around. So come and say hello.
With who?
I'm going on my own. I'm going with Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regrets.
YouTube friends.
Well, we're meeting up. I'm not going with him.
I have a pre-existing commitment.
Yes.
That I can no... I can't get out of for the fourth week in a row.
Nice.
Yeah. But that's all we've got time for. You usually do this bit.
Sorry, yes. I'm so out of practice. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you on Saturday for the weekend Wrestle Ramble. But of course, we'll possibly see you at Wrestling MediaCon, because we're going to be there all day Saturday and all day Sunday, including the after party. So please do stop by and say hello. It'd be lovely to meet you. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you then. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.